truly are, as Louis said, some of the best around. As I've started traveling a little bit more, speaking at different places, we have a lot of good pastors in the state of Arkansas, but few go to the lengths that your pastors do to serve you, and it's because they love you. They love God, and they love people. Amen? Amen. And so it should be a joy for you to get to honor them today, right? It says in Timothy, 1 Timothy, it says, the workman is worthy of his hire. And you have two that are very worthy of their hire in this house. So I honor them today. I've known them for a very long time now. They've known me even longer. If you don't get that joke, just Jordan and Alicia are my aunt and uncle. So I have a lot of love for this church myself. This is actually the first place where I ever preached in front of a congregation for the first time when I was 14 years old. That's such a special memory. When I was younger than that, it was one of the first places that I got up on the platform and led in worship. And so I love getting to be with you. This is a great group of people, and you're doing amazing things for the kingdom, and it's such an honor to get to sit back and watch it from afar, and when I can, to get to come and serve alongside you and serve with you. And so I am honored to be here today. Thank you for having me. I believe that I have a word for you today. We're going to jump right into it because I know they've got a good meal in the back. But I do want to ask you for just a few moments, can we set everything else that's going to happen today aside? Can we enter into his presence? Can we allow him to come and do what only we can do? There's a lot of churches today that are more concerned about getting to the next thing than they are about encountering the presence of God. A lot of things, yeah, that's right. A lot of churches more concerned when they have multiple services about flipping the parking lot in time, about making sure that you get a 30-minute feel-good sermon and get you out the door. But my heart for you today is that you would leave changed and challenged by the word of God. And it's time. It is time. The church has got to rise up and stand in the authority that they've been called to stand in and accept the call that the Lord's placed. So we're gonna dive into this word. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to read two verses of scripture to open out of two different passages. I'm going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And then I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles 13 and read verses 13 through 14. I'm going to grab one of these waters real quick while you're flipping. When you get there, say amen. I've preached this word a couple times at a couple different stops now. Something I've kind of always struggled with just personally as an evangelist is preaching the same word again. But sometimes the Lord gives a word for the church. And so the church can't hear the word if you don't preach it a couple times. So I've preached it, but I believe it's a fresh word for you today. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, it says, Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. Then I'm going to flip in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 13 through 14. It says, So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. I know we've prayed, but let's pray one more time. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the opportunity to get to minister your word. Father, I pray that you would come, that you would speak in this place. Father, of myself, I have nothing good to offer, Lord, but if you come, if you speak, then the people can leave changed today. So make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Come have your way in this house. We surrender to you. God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, we love you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach to you a sermon today that I have entitled, When the Ark Comes to Your Door. You could also subtitle the protocol of the presence. How many of you know that there is a protocol that comes with hosting the presence of God? There is a standard that is required in us personally and also in us corporately in order to host the presence of an almighty God. And so I read from two different passages of scripture. We're going to go on a journey today through the history of the ark being kept in first in Abinadab's house and then in Obed-Edom's house. But just a little bit of a background for you. What is the Ark of the Lord? In scripture, you hear Ark of the Lord, Ark of God, Ark of the Covenant. This was an ornate gold-plated wooden chest that was built by the ancient Israelites, and it housed the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, and it served as a symbol and physical location of God's presence. You got to understand, in this time, the ark was the central instrument of worship for the people of Israel. The ark housed things such as the Ten Commandments. It housed Aaron's budded rod. It housed the gold plate of manna. And all of this was topped by the mercy seat. And this is what I love. It was between the cherubim of the mercy seat that the Shekinah glory of God would dwell. And this is the place where he would manifest himself for the priest to see. He would manifest his glory and his power for the people to see. And how many of you believe that he is looking to show up in glory? He is looking to show up in power. He is looking to manifest himself among his church and among his people in order that he could show up in the magnitude of who he is. It was topped by the mercy seat. The ark was also the guiding beacon for ancient Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. We see that in the book of Numbers. And it was the power and the power which would lead them to victory many times. And while it may take a different shape and form for us today, let me be clear, it is still your and I power today. And so we're going to examine two houses today that kept the ark, that hosted the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord. Abinadab and Obed-Edom. But we're going to see that there were two very different outcomes with each house in how they hosted the presence of God. And so if we go back a couple chapters in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we see that there's a lot of controversy surrounding the ark. The Philistines capture the ark. They take it into their camp. And I'm going to read just a little excerpt from 1 Samuel 5, 1 through 7. I want you to get the magnitude of what we're dealing with here. It says, "Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, which was their god, and they set it by Dagon. And the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, and there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord." So they rose him up. They set him back in the same place. And they said, well, maybe that was just a strong wind that blew through. We're going to see what happens tomorrow. And they come back tomorrow, to paraphrase it, and they find him once again on his face before the ark of the Lord. But this time, the head and the arms, the only thing that was left of Dagon intact was his torso laying before the ark of the Lord. And this happened in multiple cities. Not only that, as they continued to keep the ark in the Philistine camp, they were struck with sickness and disease. The Lord began to show signs and wonders among them, but it ain't the signs and wonders you want the Lord to show among the people. Because in a part of scripture, it says that he struck them with hemorrhoids in the old King James, maybe hemorrhoids. Ain't nobody want hemorrhoids when the Lord shows up. But you got to catch this. It happened in multiple cities. And when it came back to the people of Israel, it was on a cart that they sent pulled by two cows. And it returned to a place called Beth Shemesh, where it was received by the people of Israel. But even here, when it returned to the people of God, there was a great slaughter among them because they did not know how to handle the presence. And if we're not careful, in the day and hour we live in, we're going to experience the same thing. Because when the ark comes back to the people of Israel at Beth Shemesh, they rejoice to see it coming. The Levites come out who are responsible for keeping the ark. But yet the people of Israel mishandled the ark in that moment. They mishandled the presence, and there was strict protocol for how the ark of the Lord was to be handled. You were not to touch it. You were not to open it. Some of you may have seen a picture or replica of it. It had two rods that ran along the side of it that you would shoulder it and you would carry it where it needed to go. But when it shows back up to Israel, what happens? They look inside of it and they touch it. And so the Lord strikes about 50,000 right there as it comes back to Israel. And so this is where we're going to start into this thing that I want to challenge you that if we are going to be the people, if we are going to be the church that hosts the presence of God, we've got to know how to do it. So my first point to you today is that if we are going to be the people that host the ark, you've got to be consecrated and you've got to be sanctified to do it. When the ark comes to your door, you better be consecrated and sanctified. What does it mean? Consecration is the setting apart of a person, place, or thing for God's exclusive use and service. Sanctification is the act of making or declaring something holy, the process of being made holy or set apart for God's purposes, and it involves a transformation. Catch this. It involves a state of transformation into Christ-likeness and increasing obedience to God. Would to God the church walk in obedience to the Lord. If you want to be the person who hosts the ark of the Lord, if you want to be the church that hosts the presence of the holy God, you have to be sanctified to do so. I just talked about what we saw in the text as they lay it before, bring the ark before Dagon, and Dagon falls. And as it comes back to Israel and the Lord strikes the Israelites because they mishandled the ark of the Lord, it's because they were keeping something that they were not consecrated or sanctified to keep. And listen to me, God will not be embarrassed by our shortcomings to host him. And you may think that is obvious. You may think, well, yeah, they weren't sanctified to keep the ark because they're the heathen. They're the Philistine. But that argument is mute when it comes back to the camp of Israel. For the heathen and for the saint, there is a protocol to the presence, and we have got to walk in it in this hour. When the ark, unholy things do not, they cannot, and they will not stand in the presence of a holy God. And the church needs to once again get a grip on what it means to live consecrated and sanctified before the Lord. Here's the reality of this. When I talk about the church also, know that I'm talking about the Big C church, not just right here, but the church as a whole. But the church as a whole, here's where we go bad on this, has failed the next generation in what it means to live sanctified. What it means to live consecrated before the Lord. Because we have an entire generation that is rising up right now that thinks it is acceptable to watch perverse things, that thinks it is acceptable to speak foul language, that you can go out on a Friday night, you can party, you can sleep with whoever you want, and then you can walk into the house of God on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and expect to host the presence of a holy God, and before and beyond that, expect to receive the blessing that comes with the presence. This is not the case, and you better understand it today that there is still a process of sanctification in the church. There is still a process of living holy and righteous before the Lord. In 1 Peter, he says, because it is written, you be holy, because I am holy. He is holy, and we are called to holiness. And no, the world will not understand it. Yes, you will be ridiculed for it. Yes, you will be made fun of. But when you live in a higher plane of sanctification, you live in a higher plane of spirituality. And that is where you will begin to see the manifested power and presence of God in your life, is when you live consecrated and sanctified to host him. I think back to bygone generations. My great-grandma, on my mom's side especially, I don't have a lot of memories of her, but a few I do have, and I can remember that any time that we would go to her house, she was always in a long skirt, her hair was done up, the shirt, you know, long sleeve. It was the old Pentecostal modesty, right? They wore the skirts, the long sleeves. The men wore pants. They wore long sleeve shirts. And I believe, don't get me wrong, some of that is absolutely religious. And it can hold back. But also, would to God that there be distinction between the world and between the people of God. Not just in their clothing, but in their attitude, in their talk, in their walk, how they live their lives before the Lord, there should be distinction. Because for far too long, I can listen to the radio and it can go from worship to country, worship to pop, and I can't tell a difference. I can listen to a 30-minute motivational speaker and listen to a pastor and I can't tell the difference. And I say that it is time for the church to release a new identity, to release a new sound that has not been cultivated by culture, but it's been cultivated in the presence and time of the presence of an almighty God. That we are people of the presence and we're consecrated and sanctified because we understand what it means to host it. We need distinction. We need substance in this hour. And in order to host the presence of the Lord, you better have it. Number two today, if you want to host the presence of God, you need reverence. To revere something is to have a deep respect and care for it. And in order for the Lord to show up among us, we must be willing to set aside all other things and dedicate ourselves to one thing, which is his presence. Abinadab and his sons hosted the presence of the Lord, hosted the ark in their house 20 plus years. And we're going to read a little bit later about how there was some mishandling of the presence. And the reality is they may have started out with a deep respect for it. Because I believe that Abinadab knew what happened when the ark first came back into Israel at Beth Shemesh. From Beth Shemesh, it goes to Abinadab's house. And when it showed up on his doorstep, I bet he knew in that moment, this thing just took out a lot of men over there, so I'm going to host it with respect and reverence. But after some time, we see they go to move it from Abinadab's house. His son goes to move it. In verse 6 of 2 Samuel, as the story goes on, this is after it's been at Abinadab's house for 20 plus years. David gathers the men of Israel. They go to receive the ark and they go to bring it back in to the house of God, to the tabernacle. In verse 3 of chapter 6, it says, "So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps and stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals." Catch this. Here's where it goes bad. "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God." Once again, the people of God mishandling the presence, resulting in casualty. And it's from this moment they move it into the house of Abinadab's because David doesn't want to take it any further. But can I suggest to you that the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah because there was no reverence for the ark? And may I suggest also that it was caused by an over-familiarity with it? How many of you know after living around something for 20 years, you become pretty familiar with it? That's right. But listen, familiarity will breed carelessness. And something we need to notice is that when the ark goes to Obed-Edom, scripture says Obed-Edom and all that he had were blessed because of how they kept the ark. But yet there is never a recorded blessing in scripture for the house of Abinadab, and maybe it's because they lacked the reverence to keep it. Maybe it had become common and familiar to them, and it is possible to live near the presence but to never experience its power and its blessing if your reverence for it is lost. And when reverence is lost, mistakes are made. And you know what? I feel bad a little bit for Uzzah because he had grown up seeing a cycle of lack of reverence for the ark. It had started in the temple with Eli, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were sleeping with women on the steps of the tabernacle, who were stealing from the Lord's offering. And then it just continues to carry over. How many of you know if you don't have the pastorate, if you don't have the priesthood that knows how to respect it, then you can't expect the people to walk in it. You've got great pastors. They know how to host and revere the presence of God. But as Uzzah continues to move, his familiarity with it caused carelessness, because the protocol of the presence, it should have never been put on the cart that he put it on in order to transfer it. They should have bared up underneath the weight of it and carried it how it was supposed to be carried. But you've got to understand, when you're this familiar with the ark, you will mishandle it, you will misinterpret it, because you've not been taught how to keep it. And it does not matter your intentions. That's something for the church today. Culture, all about your intention, whether it's right or wrong. Uzzah's intention to reach out and to steady the ark, I believe, came from a good place. I believe his heart was probably pure, and that he wanted to protect the ark when he reached out to steady it. But your intentions don't matter when it comes to the presence of God, because it's not a casual thing, it's a holy thing. And it demands reverence. It demands respect. If you want to host the presence, you've got to understand the magnitude of it. And God is not looking for people in this hour who will market his presence. He's not looking for people in this hour who will slap it on a cart with wheels and push it along. But he is looking for those who are willing to bear up underneath the weight of it and say that I will carry this thing at all costs. I will carry this thing if it causes me my life. I will carry it until my back hurts. I'll carry it until you renew my strength, because it is the holiness of God. It is the thing where his glory will dwell among us, and we will treat it with the reverence and with the respect that it deserves. You've got to understand that to carry and to host the presence is a mantle, and it is one that you cannot just simply pick up and put down at your convenience. For too long, the mantle to host the presence has been the accessory, and it has not been the identity of the church. But I say that in this hour, it is no longer an accessory. It is no longer something that we simply pick up when we want to, when it feels good, when it comforts our flesh, but it will become the identity of who we are. It will become the identity of my very being, that I am one who hosts the presence of an almighty God. You need to host it well in this hour, because there is a lost and dying world. There are people who are hungry for something, and it can only be satisfied in the presence of an almighty God. And you've got to host it, because if not, you will become the church without the presence very quickly. And it is possible. It's all over in the world we live today. There are churches, yet they do not have the presence of God anywhere in their midst. The ark, you've got to understand, was never meant to be hosted in the house of Abinadab or even in the house of Obed-Edom. It belonged in the tabernacle. But because of their mishandling of it, it could not go there. And even though the ark was not in the tabernacle for 20 plus years while it was at Abinadab's house, the priests still went to the tabernacle and did their duties. Men and women still went and prayed. They still gave offering. They still did sacrifice. They still did the function of the temple. And the presence of God wasn't there for 20 years. And if we're not careful, you can have the platform without the presence. You can have the show without the substance. You can have the performance without the power. And you can have the function without the unction. But that is not church. It is a waste of your time. And I refuse in this hour to play church. I refuse to waste my time where there is no presence. And you've got to hear me, that your duty and your calling, even mine and your pastors as ministers, it's not to a building. It's not even first to you. My first obligation is to host him, to minister to him, and to host his presence well. And when that happens, then his presence can be displayed on a corporate level. And I am tired of seeing the Pentecostal church in this hour operate without Pentecost, operate without the presence of God. But this is the hour that we have got to quit playing church while the ark is in a back room at Abinadab's house, and we have to bring it out and set it back in the middle where it belongs, to be the center of our attention. I said it when I prayed, I have nothing to offer you. Your pastors, in our own natural right, any ministry leader in this place, you have nothing to offer outside of the presence of God. And for too long, we've tried to offer everything else but the presence. And we're wondering why we're seeing people still circling the same addiction, still circling the same stronghold, still circling the drain of divorce. because we're offering everything but the presence. But I believe that there is a purity that is coming back to the church. There's a purity that's coming back to the pulpit of those who say, this is my obligation, this is my duty to host the presence and to host it well. To host the presence, it is more than a duty. It is a calling. I believe to Abinadab, as we see, maybe it was simply a duty to him. Maybe a sacred one at one time, I can't judge that. But when the ark left Abinadab's house, that was it. We don't pick up the story of that anymore. But you got to understand the difference between a duty and a calling is that a duty is a responsibility for a period of time, while a calling is a responsibility that you dedicate your life to. When Obed-Edom hosted the ark in his house, it went from being a simple duty to a calling. I believe that Obed-Edom, when it came into his house, he began to rearrange the furniture to host the presence of God. The ark, you and I have the presence within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The ark was a physical box that showed up. I mean, I literally believe he rearranged the furniture, the makeup of his home in order to host the ark. Because surely he knew the consequence that came with not reverencing it, with not hosting it in the proper manner. And I believe that as Obed-Edom kept the ark, I believe that his life changed and the makeup of his home changed. Let me tell you, when you host the presence, when you reverence it, when you host it well, the makeup, the DNA of your family, of your life, of your finances, of your marriage, every aspect of your life will change because you host his presence. That's the kind of God we serve. Oh man, it's the amazing thing. Obed-Edom and all that he had were blessed. I'm thankful that I'm saved this morning. And if the Lord never did another thing for me, that would be enough. But what a God that we serve, that I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, I'm redeemed, I'm made whole, I'm free from every sin, I'm free from every grip of the enemy. But yet even on top of that, he somehow sees fit to bestow his blessing upon me. To let me carry who he is. You've got to understand that at the cross of Calvary, Christ traded the weight of your sin for the weight of his glory. But he will not allow those to carry his glory if they don't have what it takes to host it. The glory of the Lord is a weighty thing. And you got to have the structure to support it in this hour. When Obed-Edom hosted the ark, I believe, maybe if it was in modern day, in the time we live, when the ark came in and they were watching maybe the TV, they didn't have it back in that day, obviously, but he would have said, turn it off. Get the filth off the TV because the ark is here. Don't talk to your mother like that because the ark is in this house. Don't be watching that video in the middle of the night because the ark is in this house and it will demand reverence. When God comes in, there is a demand for a radical shift in order to host him. Obed-Edom became responsible for the ark. He became responsible for the presence and his life showed the proof of it. And when you host his presence well, he will manifest himself among you. Because I believe that in the middle of the night, Obed-Edom may have woken up and he may have gone and sat before the ark of the Lord in his living room. And I believe that between the cherubim, he saw things. He heard things of the heavenly realm that this earth could not even begin to produce. He saw colors. He heard sounds that he had never heard before. And then I believe maybe his wife woke up and came in and sat down right beside him. And she began to see and to hear the same things. Because when you host the presence, he will show up for you. He'll make himself known in your midst and in your house. But you got to understand, this is where it becomes Obed-Edom's calling. In 1 Chronicles 16, Obed-Edom, David comes back and they're ready to take the ark once again to the tabernacle. And in chapter 16, verses 4 through 5, it says, and he appointed, this is David, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, next to him, Zechariah, goes on to list a whole bunch of names, but if you'll look in there, you'll see Obed-Edom. With stringed instruments and harps and music with cymbals. But this was the temporary celebration. This is they are initially bringing the ark back into the city. But if you hop down even just a few more verses to verse 37 and 38, it says, so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, catch this, to minister before the ark regularly, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun and Hosa, to be gatekeepers. It went from being a duty to host it in his home to a calling that he would keep it for all the days of his life in the tabernacle where it belonged. And just as I imagined Obed-Edom and his wife sitting before the ark of the Lord, I can, in the theater of my mind, see Obed-Edom's wife coming home one day. And maybe he's got a bag with him and he's headed out the door and she has to say, Obed-Edom, where are you going? And he said, I have to go follow the presence. I have to host the ark. That's my calling. It's my duty. Obed-Edom did not fall in love with the blessing of the ark. He didn't fall in love with the presentation of the ark. He fell in love with the presence. And for this, he gave his life to protect it and to keep it and to host it with reverence, to live consecrated and sanctified before the Lord. And as you see that when the people learn how to keep the presence on a personal level, then it can come to the corporate level. You want to see revival in the church? You want to see the move of God? Then you need to learn how to host it first. Because I believe the Lord is supernatural, anything he can do. I believe he can supernaturally pour out his presence, his power, display his glory among his people anywhere, anytime. But I just believe with all of my heart that we're in the hour where he's not doing it unless you're consecrated to do it. He's not doing it unless you're willing to host it well. Because it's not a casual thing, it's a holy thing. And he will not be mocked by those who don't know how to keep the presence. But you and I are invited to be keepers of the presence of an almighty God. Worship team, you can join me back up on the platform. I don't know how long I've preached for. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. One more point I want to make for you today. As I've already said, everyone who is born again is capable of hosting the ark. There's a, I want to say a controversy, there's a discussion if you look into Obed-Edom, if you look into Obed-Edom's life. In the opening text, we read, when David places the ark in Obed-Edom's house, he is referred to as Obed-Edom the Gittite. A Gittite usually refers to someone who is from Gath, which is a Philistine city. In fact, it was the same place that Goliath was from. Which could imply that Obed-Edom was a Gentile Philistine. Which makes the story even more shocking. Because if you knew the protocol of the presence, there was a priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, that was assigned to keep the ark. Their duty was to keep the ark. And so if this was the case, if Obed-Edom the Gittite was indeed a Gentile Philistine, then this shows us that God's presence blessed a foreigner's house when Israel mishandled it. If the church mishandles the presence, it'll go to somebody that knows how to handle it, whether they're the church folk or not. If he was truly a Philistine, then the presence of God, the blessing that was upon his house, shows that the blessing is not limited to nationality, but his glory is rest wherever it is reverenced. It does not matter your DNA. It does not matter the addiction that you once had. It does not matter whether you grew up in the church or out of it, whether your parents are pastors, whether your grandparents were pastors. What matters is, will you host the ark with reverence? And here's also the crazy thing about our God, is you could be saved for all of 30 seconds. And if you know how to walk in holiness before him, he'll give you the presence. He'll give you his spirit. He'll allow you to walk it out. Listen, we've in the church got to understand that our identity is not found in the world. I talk about sanctification and consecration, but you've also got to understand that this side of heaven, you have been given everything you need to walk in sanctification, to walk in holiness, to walk in reverence before the Lord. Listen, my identity is no longer an addict. My identity is no longer a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I am, but I am also a joint heir to the kingdom of God. That is my identity. And we've got to quit walking in the identity of what once was, and we've got to step into the identity of what is, that I am a blood-bought, born-again believer, that I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I can host his presence. I can host the presence of an almighty God. And yes, people will think I'm funny, but you just wait until they get a taste of what you're carrying. Because the same people who have ridiculed me, the same people who have made fun of me, are the same people that will call me now when they need prayer, when all hell is breaking loose in their life, my phone begins to ring. Because they know, oh my goodness, this isn't about me, but they have the understanding that there is something that I can get a hold of, that I can have a connect line with the Father, because I have given my life to host his presence well. And it is the same for you. He's inviting you to host his presence. But you've got to understand, here's where this all comes together. I have said the ark a lot today. We've talked about it. I hope it's ingrained in your memory. Here's the powerful thing about this. It was never, and it is still not, about a physical object, but it is about what that object represented, which was the presence, the power, and the glory of an almighty God. And while the presence was revealed and tabernacled in the ark in the ancient days of Israel, it was ultimately tabernacled among you and I in the person of Jesus Christ, and now through the Holy Spirit. It was the ark that directed Israel in the wilderness. It was the ark that caused the waters of the Jordan River to be held back. It was the ark that led the walls of Jericho to fall when the people lifted a shout. It was the ark which cast judgment upon the Philistines. It was the ark that caused the glory to fill the temple, so strong that the priests could not even stand to minister. But it was the ark that was revealed to us in the person of Christ. And the ark was simply a shadow of a greater reality. You've got to understand that the ark of an old covenant was the revealed presence to you and I of a new covenant. And it was that presence that demons fled when it showed up. It was that presence that blinded eyes were opened, the sick were healed, the dead were raised, and he filled unto overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that same presence is alive and it is active today. And while it may not show up at your door in a physical body, let me remind you that there is one standing, knocking, waiting for you to open the door so he can come in and sup with you, so he can come in and reveal his power and his presence and his glory to you. I believe that this is the hour. Haggai 2:9. It says the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former. You've got to understand that we are going in this hour from glory to glory. There is no retreat within the kingdom of God. There's only advancement, and what a time to be alive. I stood on the steps of the Arkansas State Capitol yesterday. A group I had been invited to come speak and pray, where we were interceding for our state and for our nation. And right before I got up on the platform to take the microphone, hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands of protesters showed up. And they got in our faces to the point Capitol Police had to come put a line in front of us, a barricade in front of us, to keep them from coming upon the steps we were at. And as I preached, as I spoke, as I prayed in that moment, I had people hurling insults at my face. I had witches dancing, speaking curse over me. They knew my name. I don't know these people, but they were calling me by name. But the presence of God was still there, and it still showed up. But the reality of the fact is that had I not made a choice long ago to host the presence, I could not have stood in that moment. The enemy is coming in this hour with a spear. He's coming with a sword, but yet there is a remnant rising up that I don't care about your spear, I don't care about your sword, because I come in the name of the Lord. My battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers of darkness, but yet my weapons are strong. Come on, the glory of God allows me to pull down strongholds because I carry the presence. It was not me speaking in that moment, but it was the presence, the supernatural power of God. And while they may have reared their head, while an enemy may have reared their head for 30 to 45 minutes, I kept praying, I kept singing, I kept preaching. Before it was all said and done, I watched every single one of them retreat down Capitol Avenue as we continued to declare the glory of the Lord. I am telling you that there is a glory that is getting ready to hit the church. There is a glory that is getting ready to hit this house that is greater than you have ever known, that is going to radically shift the DNA of your own individual homes. It is going to radically shift the DNA. It is going to cause your children to come back. It is going to cause your marriage to be restored. It is going to cause sickness to leave your body, because the blessing comes where the presence is hosted. If you want to host the presence, come to this altar right now. If you say, Father, I want to sacrifice myself, I give my life to be a host for the presence of God, I want to experience the power and the presence of God in this hour, I want to see the glory of the Lord manifested in our midst, I want to experience what it is like to experience the blessing, to experience the power, to experience the presence. Come on, there's some of you in this place, the enemy has had you locked up, but the Lord says today is the day of deliverance. The Lord says that today is the day where he will make himself known in your midst, where he will show up on an individual level. So Father, I pray right now, reveal your presence and power, God. Let your glory come in this house, Father. Father, I pray that you would raise up men and women who are willing to host the presence. The Lord says it's not over. It's not too far gone.